The text is the gospel reading from St. Matthew. Jesus says, "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted?" "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." Here ends our text. Had I wist, is an archaic English word meaning the awareness of, if only had I known, I would have acted otherwise. It's more than second guessing, it's second knowing. It's knowing you missed an opportunity and painfully regretting it. Had a wist is how the famous Greek scholar Richard Trent translates "changed his mind" and "repent" in our text. These two different translations in the insert translate the same Greek word, and the parable turns around that word. Jesus tells the parable to the chief priests and the elders of the people. These are the leaders of the church. These are the ones that everyone knows are going to heaven. And Jesus means to offend them because Jesus is on the offensive here. This is Tuesday of Holy Week. It's 3 days and Jesus is going to be dead. This is last call for disciples. The chief priests and elders had come up to Jesus in the temple, interrupted his teaching, and demanded to know by what authority he acted. Remember, they asked this after 3 years of Jesus teaching, healing, raising the dead, and casting out demons. Jesus says that he will answer them if they answer whether the ministry of John the Baptist was from men or from God. Now they know the truth, but they say they don't know. Their refusal to confess the truth they know sets Jesus on the offensive, and offend he does. He tells them that there will be hookers in heaven, publicans in paradise before them. Furthermore, Jesus dares to say, "Kingdom of God." Pious Jews said "kingdom of heaven" so as to avoid saying the sacred name of God. Matthew and the rest of his gospel always writes "kingdom of heaven" because he wrote to Jews. But here he records "kingdom of God" because Jesus means to offend. You're offended too, aren't you? Not by the kingdom of God instead of kingdom of heaven, but by there being prostitutes in paradise and swindlers being saved. Now, if Jesus had said there'll be repentant prostitutes or tax collectors in heaven, well, that would be okay. He doesn't. Not because they're impenitent, but because the leaders of the church are. Ouch. I just implied, in case you missed it, that perhaps you're not repentant either. Sorry, I have to do that. It's my job, as laymen like to say. You will listen to me rail against the chief priests and Jewish elders all day. Go get them, Pastor. Give those no-count sinners hell. You'll gladly let me give Jewish church leaders hell, even as they gladly gave prostitutes and tax collectors hell. But when I turn the law towards you, then I'm meddling. But I have to. You're stuck in the same dilemma the church leaders were. Is my ministry from God or is it from men? Now, if it's from men, then keep coming when you feel like it. Then listen to what teaching of mine suits you. If my ministry is from men, then disregard as my opinion any portion that bothers you. After all, everyone is entitled to their opinion. If my ministry is from men, there is nothing divine going on here, and you miss nothing when you choose to stay away. This parable is for people who are quite content with believing the lie that the holy ministry, whether in Jesus, through John, or by pastors, is from men. Jesus offends such, but that is not his goal. His goal is to reclaim such. Note well, Jesus says to the church leaders that the prostitutes and tax collectors go into the kingdom of God ahead of them, not instead of them. However, Jesus' goal isn't to bring the church leaders to repentance. That's a different Greek word entirely. Oh, that's down the road, but that's too far down the road for them. Jesus' goal is Hedonist. So he points them to the Hedonist that the prostitutes and tax collectors had. They are the first son in the parable. When John the Baptist came preaching, the tax collectors and harlots, they weren't instantly on their knees repenting, forsaking their sins. No, they rejected him outright. They didn't just say no, but no way. And while in other parables, people make lame excuses for rejecting God's ministry, for regarding it as nothing but human, the harlots and the tax collectors, they didn't feel the need even to do that. They just said, no way, I don't want it. And a miracle happened. From totally rejecting the ministry of John, suddenly they thought better of it. Any part of repentance, even the first part, the first regret, even the Hedonist, only happens by the Holy Spirit working through the Word. He made a pinhole in their heart and soul. Layers and layers of willful sexual sinning, living together with man after man, if only for minutes at a time, suddenly bothered the prostitutes. Layers of greed, accumulating wealth no matter the cost to others, suddenly got to the tax collectors. Suddenly they couldn't completely write off John as just a kook, just a religious zealot, just a man. The church leaders, on the other hand, thought that they were doing just fine by God. Although they rejected John's ministry, they never had a Hedonist moment. They thought they were doing fine. They didn't even have one when they saw what eventually happened to the prostitutes and publicans. And this is proof positive, by the way, that these didn't go on living in their sins. They didn't flock to hear John teach and then boldly go out to their sexual sitting. They didn't hear John preach and arrogantly go on swindling someone. Jesus couldn't have pointed the church leaders to them if they had. If the prostitutes and publicans had claimed the right to go on in their sins because they were forgiven, or if they had gone on rejecting the ministry of John, they would have been doing exactly as the church leaders were still doing. How about you? I'm not looking for full-blown, down on your knees, sobbing your sins, repentance. I'm only looking for Hedonist. Is there the smallest part of you that thinks better of your view of my ministry? That thinks better that it is a sin to come when you feel like it to the place where Jesus still speaks and is still visible on earth today? You think better of it. You know better now that it's a sin to hear my preaching and teaching as a personal opinion and not a thus says the Lord. Is there the slightest germ of reconsideration, of Hedonist, concerning your belief that you can defend your sins, make excuses for your sins, and still go to heaven? Now, if you quit listening now, you're in a real mess. Because you're thinking the Hedonist of the trollops and the tax collectors had only to do with the law. No, their hadowis also had to do with the gospel and with the way of righteousness. Jesus says tax collectors and prostitutes had hadowis in regards to the way of righteousness, and the church leaders did not. The way of righteousness is not works of righteousness. The church leaders, they had plenty of these. They really did go to the temple and synagogue all the time. They really did follow the works prescribed in the law. The prostitutes and publicans, well, they didn't at all. All they had were sins, sins, and more sins. All their life was sin, even as we sing of ourselves in one of our hymns. John didn't come to show people how to do good works. Jesus didn't establish and doesn't give his holy ministry to show you how to live, but to show you how to die. The contrast Jesus makes between the church leaders and the open sinners is that the church leaders didn't believe and the open sinners did. So the way of righteousness is something to be believed, not done. It's something that is received. The church leaders didn't have room to receive more. They were full, and so they would be sent empty away. No one can put more into a full cup, not even God. The church leaders were full of their faith that there was nothing divine in John's ministry. They were full of the fact that he didn't have anything that they really needed. He couldn't teach them anything. So they're free to ignore him. This is where the prostitutes and the publicans started out too. But the Spirit gave them a moment of hadowist. Hadowist, I had known how full of sin my life was and how empty of God's righteousness. I would have thought different of the ministry of John. But it wasn't too late for them. John was still with them. And they went on to fully embrace his ministry and renounce their sins. And even when King Herod silenced the ministry of John, it still wasn't too late for Hadowis, because Jesus' public ministry had come. And what did the church leaders do? They rejected his ministry the same way they did John's. Indeed, they had to. For how you regard the one sent by Jesus, that's how you regard Jesus. If the office of the ministry is not divine to you, neither is the one who created it. It wasn't too late for these church leaders in the text, and it's not too late for any of you. John's ministry, which is Jesus' ministry, is still going on in your midst. There in that font, in my mouth, on that altar, is the very Lamb of God who carried away the sins of the world. Are you like the harlots and the publicans? Do you have sins? Do you have lots of sins? Then like them, see Jesus carrying them away from you. Carrying them away from you, never ever to bring them back to you. I preach and teach what Jesus before me and John before him did. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. The prostitutes and tax collectors heard and believed that, and so they were baptized. They left in the water all their guilty stains and came out of that water wearing the holy, pure righteousness of Jesus like a bright, white, terry cloth bathrobe. Neither John the Baptist, Jesus, nor I have met a sin we couldn't wash away, could not forgive, or a sinner who couldn't be saved. No matter how many times you've said no way to the office of the ministry, no matter how many times you've refused to believe it brings the divine way of righteousness, preferring your own instead, it's not too late for you. Hadowis, that God the Son came to sinners with forgiveness, in water, words, bread, and wine, in the hands and mouth of a man. Had I known that, I would have wallowed in that water. I would have heard every word from his mouth. I would have eaten and drank often, because I sin often. Hadowis is an expression of regret at a lost opportunity. But when the opportunity is still there, it foretells joy. It's Ebenezer Scrooge, sorrowing in the vision of Christmas future, but waking to find he hasn't missed Christmas at all. you can wake to the still greater joy that you haven't missed Christ. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.